You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. On today's episode, Joshua talks about different perspectives. So if you had an experience in your life that caused you to have this different perspective to understand what's really going on, well, then you would act differently in your life. You could see a lot of people who've had near-death experiences. Well, that experience changed them because they got a profoundly new perspective. And when they returned and recovered, they operated differently in their life. And you could see a lot of profound changes in people who had those experiences. Well, we all have access to higher perspectives, but we just have to sort of fill in the blanks ourselves. And in this episode, Joshua explains how that's done. So I think that you'll find this really interesting. Remember that we have a new course. This course is a 7-day course on how to process limiting beliefs through manifestation events. It has meditations and daily spiritual practice and the manifestation event form, plus a tutorial and all that stuff. I've left a link below, but you can also find it on the homepage. It says get started. So you'll see it down there, maybe 3 or 4 pictures down. So check out that. Also remember to like and subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends on Facebook, leave a comment, all that great stuff. We really appreciate it. Well, without any further ado, let's get going. We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, welcome.
Joshua. So if you had a different perspective, if you could see things as they truly were, if you had some experience that showed you that your beliefs were not necessarily true, it's just something that you adopted along the way, and that you were now able to see more of the truth or see things from the higher perspective, well, then you would shift your behavior in such a way that you would then align with this new perspective. So the new perspective would be that you are an eternal, limitless, magnificent being of pure positive love and acceptance. If you're eternal, then there is no death. There is no anything other than existence. You have always existed. You all will always exist. The proof of your existence is that you're here now. And the fear of death is a illusion that's part of this physical journey of self-discovery. You are limitless. You might seem to perceive yourself as limited because you don't think you're getting what you need, or you think that you're not making things happen or changing your reality enough, or you're not filling holes that you think need to be filled. And of course, that's an illusion as well, because you are full, you are whole, you have everything you need. And it's simply up to you to perceive it as such and go along your journey of self-discovery, or keep focusing in on the things you think you lack. You are magnificent. You might not see yourself as magnificent. You might see yourself as flawed or imperfect in some way, but the truth is that you are perfect in every way. You are perfectly situated in this reality, in your bodies, with your friends, with your family, with everything you need to go on your journey of self-discovery just as you intended prior to your birth. The illusion says that you don't have what you need, or that you're not making progress, or that you have some flaws that need fixing, or that you need to improve in some way. And so when your perspective is on these things that are not true, the illusion of physical reality, well, you sort of spend your time exploring that less than, that unworthy, that unwhole version of you that is not true. And why do you do this? Well, because you think that if you could improve, well, you would get the things that you lack. If you could do better than you're doing now, then you would know more than you know now. And we say, you don't want anything more than you have now. You want to go on this journey and let it unfold exactly as you intended prior to your birth. And it is unfolding perfectly. The fact is that you are receiving everything you need when you need it. And if you need a manifestation event to point out a limiting belief, you will get that manifestation event. If you need $1 million to explore something, you will attract the $1 million. And if you don't need it, you won't attract it because it would not enable you or not help you or not be of any benefit to you on your journey of self-discovery. So if you put that journey of self-discovery above all else and realize that you are on this journey and it is unfolding and you are way ahead of where you thought you would be. In fact, everything is perfect. Now imagine expressing this perfection as appreciation. Imagine being absolutely appreciative and grateful for everything that exists in your life now. Imagine living in one day, fully appreciating everything, and then noticing when your attention is drawn to things you don't like, or things you think are wrong, or you're annoyed or upset or whatever it is, or you wish you were somewhere other than where you are. All of that is based in the illusion. All of this wishing for something that's different is still perceiving yourself as a victim and not the creator of your reality. But if you could see from the perspective that we see, if you could take a few minutes into the non-physical and look at your life and notice how perfectly everything is unfolding and how wonderful this life actually is, and that there is nothing to fear, there is nothing to worry about, there is nothing to regret, there is no one to resent. It is all happening for you perfectly. So imagine living in pure appreciation. Well, we say that's alignment. Alignment would be pure appreciation of everything that exists in your reality in this moment. And if you could do that, well, then you would quickly move towards newer behaviors, newer interests, newer passions. You would get on your inspired path to self-discovery without detouring along the way or exploring who you're not. You would become more authentic because you would know everything is right. Everything is good. I am good. I am perfect. I am whole. I'm worthy. If you could know that, well, then you would operate in physical reality in a different way, but you cannot know that because the illusion is so intense. And will you ever get out of this illusion? Well, it's not necessary that you get out of the illusion. What is necessary is that you see the light more often, or you maintain your alignment more often, or you get into alignment more often. You see, you're either in alignment seeing the truth of this reality, or you're in the illusion perceiving that things are wrong and bad. And sometimes you're in the illusion and sometimes you're in the truth. Now, when you find yourself in the illusion and you're aware of it because you do not feel good because you're receiving negative emotion, well, you can stop. You can pay attention to the thoughts that are coming to you. You can pay attention to the urges and you can say, no, I'm just buying into this illusion. This is not true. Let's see where I am. Let's see what belief is triggering me or is being triggered right now so that I hop out of alignment and into this illusion of not appreciating and not being grateful, thinking things are wrong. If you can just be that aware, well, you'll find yourself looking at things from the higher perspective more often. Well, the higher perspective is the truth. It is alignment. It is the light. This is your power. It's your superpower. This is your new understanding. Your new awareness of who you truly are without really even feeling it or really even having the glimpse of it is an ability that you can practice, you can cultivate. And so alignment is simply realizing that everything is good, everything is right, everything is perfect as it is. Out of alignment would be the opposite of that, thinking things are wrong, thinking you're unworthy, that sort of thing. And so all you would have to do then is say, wow, I'm not in alignment right now. Why is that? Oh, some limiting belief has been triggered. I'm feeling that things are wrong or bad. I'm receiving negative emotion as guidance from my inner self. I'm being alerted to the fact that I am focused on the illusion and not the truth. And now I can get back into alignment simply by looking at the entire situation from the higher perspective. What has happened here? Oh, it's just a limiting belief. What's the limiting belief? Oh, here it is. Is this belief true? Of course it isn't. Can I find evidence to prove it's false? Yes, I can. Here's the evidence, and here the evidence is not true. Here's the evidence not true. I have a whole list of evidence that proves it's not true. And once you do this, then you can get a bit of relief and you can realize, all right, this event has happened so that I can see this limiting belief, which means that that limiting belief, which is stuck in my vibration, is preventing me from acting when I'm inspired to move me to higher levels of awareness and clarity and expansion and further along my journey of self-discovery, not to manifest all these things I think I want, because those things are not necessary until they're necessary. And when they're necessary, they will come. And if I am choosing a higher exploration or a more focused exploration, then everything I need will come when it's the right timing for me, when the timing is divine. And I can have absolute faith in the laws of the universe, in the guidance of my inner self, in the love of source itself, that I'm on the right track at the right time, and everything's working out perfectly. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who'd like to start?
I would.
Jim.
Hi. So that intro was perfect. Put me in the right vibe to ask this question. So it's a relationship question about my marriage. I have been searching and processing limiting beliefs to figure out why I'm in a marriage where I get blamed for someone else's health or unhappiness or an array of things. And I think I've done a pretty good job processing that. And things aren't really changing, which I accept as perfect. Everything is happening. But then I got this message, and I think it came from my inner self, that it's really time to flip the script on this relationship. You know, that I came in with a pre-birth intention and she came in with a pre-birth intention that I was going to be this for her in her life and she was going to be this. But now I really feel like with what I've learned that I've come to a point where we've done enough of that and we don't need to split apart. So, you know, I'm stuck here. It's like, how do I flip the script? How do I turn this to the next stage?
Excellent. Well, if you understand who you really were, then you would give this no big thought. You would simply say, I'm enjoying this relationship today. This relationship is fine today. This relationship allows me to be who I am today. Am I being my authentic self today? Or am I creating a persona that says, I am the man, I'm the head of the household, and I will solve all the problems to prove that I'm worthy of this role, to prove that I'm worthy of your love, to prove I'm worthy of the family's love, to prove that I'm good and right and be validated by the opinions of others. This role as the head of household that takes care of all the problems, that makes all the money, that does all these things, and yet you are setting this whole thing up for failure because this isn't your role. It's inauthentic. It's not who you truly are. You see, you don't have to prove yourself to anyone, not your wife, not your kids, not your family, not your friends, not anyone. You are who you are. You don't have to be this rigid structure of a man in Western society that takes care of things and gets things done and provides for the family and goes out and slays the wild animals and brings home the meat, you see. This is the old paradigm that you were born into that says that to be a good father and husband, you have to be X, Y, and Z. Well, if you're having to do all those things, well, you are performing in an attempt to get love. I go to work. I work hard all day. I do this and this and this around the house. I am responsible for everyone's happiness. And as long as everyone's happy and everyone's provided for, then that's their excuse to love me. That's the reason that I can accept their love, because I'm doing all this stuff for them. And of course, they have to reflect back to you the nonsense of this idea. You're being inauthentic. As long as you're being authentic, they are going to show up to prove to you that all the things you're trying to do to coerce love out of them, which is a highly transactional way of being, I provide this, I provide that, therefore you should love me. And so they say, well, that's not enough. Because you're saying to yourself, that's not enough. I should make more money. I should be home more often. I should be able to do more things around the house. I should, in order to receive the love that I think I'm lacking. And so there's nothing you can do because you're putting yourself in a paper bag there. And you're trying and trying and trying and trying and trying to do all these things to get back the love you think that's required from them. And of course, they can't give it to you because you're being inauthentic. And so what they've come to do is to show you your inauthenticity, to show you where your fears are, where your limiting beliefs are, to show you that this creation, this persona that you've built up of this good, worthy, wholesome provider is not required. What's required is you becoming authentic. And you are in conflict here. And they are showing up to show you this inner conflict of yourself. Because who you are is the polar opposite of this persona you've created. The polar opposite, just like Gary was. The polar opposite. Gary was trying to be this normal guy, the successful guy that would be reason for other people to like, love, and respect him. And it never worked. He would do things for people to get them to appreciate him. It backfired every time. He was being inauthentic. He was being this thing he thought would be a good representation to promote to the outside world. But because it was inauthentic, it wasn't who he was, and it got in the way of his journey of self-discovery, it had to be dismantled, and it was. And as soon as he let it go, as soon as he realized that none of that stuff he was doing before brought any happiness, none of the stuff he did for people was really for them. It was always for this desire to be appreciated from other people, to be seen as worthy. Once he accepted his innate worthiness and just focused on what he was interested in, everything changed. Every single thing. But that was a process that took basically 6-7 years to do. And one big manifestation event after another popped up, but he was able at some point to realize these are manifestation events. These are things coming to me because something is in my vibration that must be dealt with before I can move on to who I truly am. So this is the same thing that's happening to you and many of you out there. You're so used to being a certain way, but it's not who you truly are. It's in opposition to who you truly are. Because you're being this way, this inauthentic version of you, having any success with it, you're not getting what you think you need. It's not working. And it cannot work because you must be authentic. You cannot be inauthentic. As soon as you start realizing that who you truly are is enough, is good, is worthy, and is why you came here, and you start pursuing your own interests and your own passions and your own inclinations and your own inspiration without needing to bounce it off anyone else. What will I think if I do this? What will they think if I go out and do that? What will they think if I give up all of this running around, efforting and struggling to make things appear as if they're normal when we all know they're not normal? Well, the only thing you can do is make a stand right now to say, I endeavor to become more authentic. I endeavor to dismantle this persona that I've created. And if I choose not to, well, then a manifestation event's going to happen. It's going to point this out. And if I choose to ignore that and choose to ignore that and keep trying to promote this inauthentic persona, well, then the universe is going to come along and say, listen, Jim, that's not working. You're not dealing with it. So let's just wipe it all out. And that's what's called rock bottom. And so those who have these rock bottom experiences, well, they're like being thrown in the deep end of the pool without knowing how to swim. You get to figure out how to swim very quickly, but it's not the most pleasant of methods to learn how to swim. So it's up to you. Will you look at who you're being and say, yes, that's not me. That is not me. I'm going to stand up for what I want, what I like, who I truly am, and I'm going to take your criticism with a grain of salt. Because I've been promoting this false persona that you've bought into this whole time. Now that's changing, and there's going to be some wobble in there during the transition. And so I'm going to accept everyone else's attempts to control me so that I can maintain this movement towards who I truly am. Yes, there's going to be limiting beliefs around having to be who you authentically are compared to this persona you created. There's limiting beliefs in there. Those will have to be dealt with. You can either deal with them right now yourself as you process manifestation events or as you process these doubtful thoughts that you're receiving. Or you could just say, let's just see what happens. I'm going to say what I mean now. I'm going to do what I want to do now. I'm not going to care about blame anymore. I'm going to take off all this responsibility that I put on myself, and I'm going to let it go. And things may shuffle around there, but for certain, when you make any move to become more authentic, the universe will notice this, and it will allow you with ease, if you accept it, to transition from who you're being to who you truly are. This is a journey. It may take a little while, but you get to start right now. And when you consciously choose to become more authentic in every moment and realize all the old habits and all the old momentum of the old persona that was not serving you, the universe will help you. Source will help you. Your inner self will guide you along this way. Once you make the decision, I am now going to be authentic. I'm going to think about every single decision I make, every reaction I have, every manifestation event that gets brought into my awareness, and I'm going to choose authenticity. I am good. I am worthy. I am magnificent. I am limitless. I am the creator of my reality. And all of this stuff is a reflection. I'm going to start being who I truly am, because being who I wasn't never worked. It will never work. It's never worked for anyone. The only possibility is authenticity.
Every time I ask you a question, you keep telling me that. I accept that. I accept that I'm not being authentic, but I deal with manifestation events. I can see the higher perspective. I can see when someone gets upset that that's their manifestation event, and I'm maintaining a higher perspective on all of this. I don't know what could be different about who I am.
Whose job is it to make sure everyone's happy?
It's their own job.
How do you feel when they're not happy?
When my kid is unhappy, that's his problem. Yeah. When my wife is unhappy, it's generally my problem.
So why is it your problem?
Because she's upset about something I did or did not.
Because you've put yourself up as this one who is responsible for everyone's happiness or for her happiness, you see. You've set that up. You said, I will take care of everything. I will take care of you. I will be responsible. I'll take care of the house. I'll take care of the family. I'll take care of everything. I will go to work. I'll have this job. I will make this money. I will buy these things. I will pay these bills. I will do whatever it is. You set yourself up. She believes that her happiness is dependent on you.
How do I flip the script?
How would you say in that explanation, how would you flip the script? You would say, I am no longer responsible for your happiness. I'm no longer responsible for anything in this house.
I already get blamed for not being responsible enough for her happiness. And it's like, you know, I tried to like let go of the oars on all that, and it just makes things worse, really. So I don't need marital counseling, but I just want a higher perspective on what do I change in my own beliefs to get the reflection back that
you're not responsible for anyone else's reality. But when you're held in blame, you feel what? Positive emotion or negative emotion?
Negative.
Okay. Could this possibly happen if it was true? Could you feel negative emotion if your perception of being blamed was true?
I guess not.
What's your perception when you're blamed?
That there's validity to that claim.
Yes. And that claim is not true. There's no validity to that claim. So when you flip the script, you no longer rely on anyone else's praise or criticism to define who you are, because you have no responsibility. Now, we're not saying other people have no responsibility. We're saying you specifically, you have taken it upon yourself to be responsible for this happiness.
Okay.
So to flip that script, you must say, when you flip the script, if you're asking for the script to be flipped, the opposite of this,
yes,
you would have to say to yourself, I am not to blame for anyone else's happiness or unhappiness. I have no control over their perception of reality. How they choose to perceive me in context to their reality as the provider, as the one who takes care of everything, as the one who does whatever needs to be done to make someone else happy, that is beyond my control. Yeah. You've always wanted to control that because that would protect you from negative emotion. But of course, as try as you may, it's impossible to create in anyone else's reality. It's impossible to make anyone else feel anything. It's their choice of their perspective of how they feel. You cannot create in their reality. You cannot be responsible for how they feel. You cannot solve all their fears. and all their limiting beliefs, because again, you are a mirror to them. So any decision you make or any behavior you make is perfect because it's giving them a manifestation of energy as well. But because you're getting blamed for this, you're feeling negative emotion because you think that you did something wrong.
Yeah. And then when I'd be like, I don't care, then I feel even worse, like I'm a dick.
You can't say I don't care to them because that's just going to trigger another limiting belief in there. That's going to escalate it. What you can say is they are having their experience. They're having their manifestation event. They're on their own journey. We are eternally linked and we came together to provide this mirror to each other. I have somehow come to a new understanding of how this whole system works. She hasn't. So I can be considerate of her. I can be compassionate of what she's going through. I'm not going to control her or try to prove to her that I don't need to be responsible for her happiness. I am just going to exist as who I am and understand that that's enough. And that's what she wanted the entire time. She doesn't want you to solve all her fears and all her problems. She wants you to be authentic. She wants you to be you, to push past your fear, to do what you are inspired to do, to help around if you want to, but not be responsible for every little event in her life. Mm-hmm. Above all, be compassionate because she's going through something that she doesn't have the awareness that you do. And you two have come together for this reason, but you must flip the script on you being responsible for anyone else's happiness. And when you're trying to be responsible for someone else's happiness, that's when you're being inauthentic, because that is not the system here. The system is everyone is responsible for their own perception of reality, their own choice of perspective. And if someone else chooses the limited perspective and feels fear, that's their choice. That's their right. You can't tell them not to be in fear when they're in fear. And you can't possibly hold up enough spinning plates in the air so they will never be in fear. It's not possible. And of course, when they're in fear, they're going to try and control you. So they're going to blame because that seems to have been effective in the past. But when it does no longer effective, then they can't use that technique to control you. They might use something else, but this will not be working. And so they'll give that up.
Okay.
Excellent. Wonderful question. Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. I have a question.
Yes.
So 2.5 months ago, I lost, in the physical sense, my ex-wife and her two parents in the Miami building collapse. And for the most part, I found a huge sense of perfection in their pre-birth intention and understanding that this was part of their plan and finding perfection in things that I didn't have clarity on before they passed over. So it's been, for the most part, in alignment with my beliefs, as your intro stated, and everything that I deeply believe. But what's happened a couple of times is I've dropped into these absolutely excruciating bouts of, I mean, depression and lack of motivation to take care of myself and do anything. And I'm just curious on your perspective on this cycle that I've fallen into.
Well, it's simply this perception that your life would be different if this event did not happen. But it did happen, and they were part of your life, an important part. And the way this event happened is quite unique. And your line of work is quite unique. And so as it happened, can you feel that you were more or less in grief during it?
Yeah, I mean, physically, I was very, yes, during it. For sure, couldn't really eat, was very sick, was hardly able to get out of the bed, but that was lifted pretty quickly.
So when you're in grief, you're looking at the situation from the limited perspective. Right. That negative emotion that you receive is your indication that you're looking at the illusion. The illusion is that they're physical people, you'll never see them again. The truth is that you're connected, that this is all orchestrated, there are no accidents, and this is for you. They did this for you, you see. Now, when you look at it from the higher perspective, you'll feel relief. And so that's all you need to know is, am I looking at something from the higher perspective, which is true, or the limited perspective, which is false? Now, the limited perspective is the perspective that everyone would choose. most humans are choosing to believe that death equals loss and it's the end and all this. Well, this is not true. And you don't have to listen to us. You can watch all kinds of near-death experiences and accounts of people who have died and come back, or even psychedelic experiences, to know that there is so much more going on beyond this illusion. So even if it's true or not true, even if you felt a little bit better by perceiving that you're eternally linked to them, that you're in connection with them more now than you ever were, that you have access to the authentic versions of them in the non-physical, and that you're eternally connected, you will see them again in a blink of an eye. And you will all marvel at what this was. So your choice right now is to say, well, am I going to perceive myself as the victim that I lost something? Or am I going to perceive myself as the creator of this reality, the co-creator of this reality, that we all did this together? And there's a purpose in it on my journey, specific to me. Now, let's just say that you chose to believe that you were not the victim, you were the creator, and that this was a co-creation that you planned out prior to your births. Look at all the things that you're interested in. Now, are there people that you deal with who have gone through similar situations? Now, yeah. Having gone through it yourself, now you have something to say to them. Yes, I went through this myself, and this was what helped me. Yes, I felt like you feel for a little while, but this is why I felt this way, because I was looking at it as if it happened to me. I lost them. That's what I felt, why I felt bad. I was looking at it as like I was the one who was victimized in this. And so I chose to look at myself not as a victim, but from a different perspective. I had all this time with these wonderful people. Every moment I spent with them, I have all the memories of them. I was perceiving that this would go on and on and on forever, or at least until I died, but that isn't what happened. What happened was this event occurred, and I was presented with a choice. Am I going to look at it from the limited perspective or the higher perspective? Am I of any use to anyone looking at it from a limited perspective? Not at all. Am I of any use to anyone looking at it from the higher perspective? Absolutely. Because now I can know exactly how to help other people going through the same thing. And that's why it happened.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Who's next?
I have a question, Joshua.
Yes.
Hello. Something that occurred yesterday when I was doing some breath play, incorporating it as I was blowing up my floaty chair. And I was with my girlfriend, and when it was the part where I was holding my breath, in my experience, I was sitting in my chair with my eyes closed, and I was seeing the geometries, and I was just really expanding into the geometries. From her experience, I was convulsing, and my eyes rolled back in my head. I realize that can be a physical experience. I'm just wondering, she pulled me out of it because she thought I was having a seizure or something. So I just wonder, is that a place where I feel like had I gone there that maybe I would be pulling through some more energies, perhaps for channeling or something like that. Could you expand on maybe what that was?
Well, please? You must understand that your breath is tied to the physical and the non-physical. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. You're constantly part of this physical reality through your breath. But you also have access to the non-physical as well, because you're breathing in the non-physical, breathing out the non-physical, breathing in the non-physical, breathing out the non-physical. If you could get interested in breath work, and what breath work does is it allows you to get into a rhythm of breathing, and then to just slightly disconnect from your ego. Your ego is the thing that's keeping you in the physical reality. When the ego is influenced or allowed to let go, then the non-physical comes into you. And so for everyone, it's different, but for wherever you are, if you can spend a time specifically breathing in a certain way that you will discover if you research breath work, you will realize that there's something going on between the breath and the heart and the connection to the non-physical as soon as the ego is released. Now, this happens to people in near-death experiences the same way. As soon as the ego is released, this happens to people doing psychedelics. As soon as the ego is released, the flood of information, the flood of communication, the flood of feeling comes in from the non-physical. And you can allow that to just play out in front of you, to let it tell you what it wants to tell you. Your guides and supporters are standing by all the time, waiting for the ego to get out of the way. When you are in fear, the ego is most prominent. When you are in joy, the ego is less prominent because the ego realizes there's nothing to fear. I don't need to interfere with what's going on here. It's only when the ego is always maintaining this hard stance, wary of danger in every situation, that it makes it difficult to connect to the non-physical. But if you can experience some joy, you will receive inspiration. That's non-physical communication coming through you, designed to help you move along your journey of self-discovery to manifest everything you truly want. The ego gets in the way of that. So when you are letting go of that ego in any form, and we absolutely encourage breath work, when you let go of that ego, then information that was always available to you now has no barriers.
And so going on, if I imagine, because I felt that I had done this before every time I hold my breath. So perhaps that was happening to me and I didn't even realize it because I never had an outside observer. So had I was really feeling to go into it. So had I gone on, I guess the experience would have just expanded and
yes,
everything would be just fine.
Exactly. It would be exactly what you needed at that time. And so every experience is absolutely different because every time it's different. And what you need at every different time is available to you at that time, you see. And it's just more and more and more and more enjoyable and fun and doesn't mean anything. It just gives you a new perspective. So anything you can do to enhance a different perspective that will show you the truth of what's going on here, well, we highly encourage that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Hey, Joshua, I have a question.
Yes, Patrick.
So my question is around inspired action and necessary action. And what I mean by that is, for example, in my company, I'm the only company, I'm the one that make sales call.
Yes.
But I'm not necessarily always inspired to do it.
Right.
However, if I'm not making those calls,
mm-hmm,
right, and doing them in a set time, the company doesn't grow.
Yes.
Similar to getting in shape and working out. I enjoy working out, but I'm not always inspired to do it, right?
We will say that you are inspired to work out, that you just have a bit of fear every time you think about going to the gym. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if I could just lay in bed? Oh, wouldn't it be nice if I could just watch some TV instead? Oh, I have to go and go to the gym. Once you get to the gym and once you're involved in that activity, then you have no issues. It's just the fear that pops up before any inspired action takes place. So all you have to do is say, no, I like going to the gym. I like working out. I like what it does for my body. I like serving my body through exercise. And this is just a bit of fear that says, maybe you should do it tomorrow. You can take the day off. And everyone has this fear. Now, if you can push past these fears to do what you're inspired to do, which will be of benefit to your body and to your business and to all the things that you truly want. If you absolutely hate the sales call, the actual sales call, if you hate talking to the customer or the client, then all you're doing is efforting and struggling your way through it. If you have a little apprehension before getting on the phone, that's the fear that pops up before you are inspired to do anything. That's the fear that pops up before you take inspired action. It's always going to be there because what's happening is I'm inspired to make this sales call. I see this client or customer here that would be benefited from my service.
Mm-hmm.
That idea is aligned with truth and love and who you truly are. So you can know that's an inspired idea. Then the fear pops up that says, what if I get rejected? What if they don't understand me? What if this, what if that, what if the other? And you can say to yourself, no, that's just fear. I am going to have this sales call and I'm going to enjoy the sales call and I'm going to expand as a result of the sales call. Once you have the sales call, you've expanded to a new vibrational level, closer to receiving everything you truly want. If you don't take the action, then you're going to be in conflict because the inspiration says, take the action. You say, no, I'm afraid to, I'm not ready to. And then you're going to be spinning your wheels, exploring the inauthentic version of you and not moving vibrationally to the higher level that's resonant with everything you truly want. So that's how you know. If there's any aspect of your business that you simply do not like doing, but you do it anyway because you think it needs to get done, well, then you're just spinning your wheels and wasting your time and efforting and struggling towards getting what you think you need to get or do what you think you need to do. And it's not effective at all because it's not moving you to an expanded level positively. It's moving you to another level that is not in alignment with who you truly are. So let someone else do it. Delegate all the things you don't like doing. Not the things you're afraid of doing, but the things you don't like doing. And then focus on what gives you joy in that business, in that exercise, in that life, in that relationship, and let everyone else take care of the stuff that you don't prefer to do. Because we promise you to become highly effective in everything you do. It's simply being in alignment, receiving the inspiration, noticing the fear that comes up, pushing past the fear, and acting in the moment, doing whatever you can in the moment, and then moving to a new expanded place and waiting for new inspiration to come. That's what it is. Now, if this entire business you're into because you thought, oh, this is a way to make money, well, you're spinning your wheels. It's all going to be effort and struggle because you're not here to make money. You're here to discover who you truly are. If it's an entire business to be of service to something greater than you or something in your community or whatever it is that you can give benefit to others, then that's perfectly aligned with who you truly are. And so that business, that occupation, that profession, whatever it is, can be extremely joyful and extremely positive, extremely fun. And it's not about providing a service or a product to the client or customer. It's about forging connections and relationships by being absolutely authentic in who you are and not worrying about what they think of you because they cannot know you. They have no idea. They see the face, they hear the voice, that's all they know. And how they see it is unique to them. If you can endeavor to create deeper, richer relationships, that's what you're here for. And everything else will take care of itself. They'll want whatever you have to offer based on your authenticity, not your salesmanship.
Thank you, Joshua.
Absolutely. Sal.
I got a question for you.
Yes, Sal.
So as we enter closer into alignment and we have less lack in our lives, how do we birth inspirations?
The inspiration is not up to you. You are birthing desires, but not birthing inspirations. You are being given guidance in the form of inspiration that will move you to the next level in your expansion, the level that is perfectly compatible with the vibration you're existing at right now. And the action will move you to the next step. Now, that next step, you can't always see. So you may have the inspiration to go ride horses. And you'll say, "That, where did that come from? That's not, nothing I even thought of before." And that inspiration, if you take it to do the action you can, which is look up where do you ride horses in my town and how is this even done? That will lead to the next step. So it isn't the, I'm going to get on horses and I'm going to start riding horses. And that's going to be my passion in life. It's where do they have horses to ride? So then you take that action, you research where they have horses to ride and wait for the next inspired idea. Now it's not up to you. It will come depending on how you're moving along on your journey. So if you're saying, I'm getting into alignment, I'm feeling better, I'm looking at my reality as it really is instead of as I thought it was, I'm perceiving myself as the creator, not the victim. I know I can be, have, and do anything in this reality. And I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to get into alignment by seeing myself as acceptable and good and worthy. Everyone else is acceptable and good and worthy. And that my conditions that exist right now are fine for me right now. I'm going to stop focusing on what is wrong or bad or what needs improvement. And I'm going to just appreciate this moment now. That's alignment. In that alignment, you'll receive inspiration. You're receiving hundreds of inspired ideas every day, but most of them are bouncing off these limiting beliefs and you don't even become aware of them. But sometimes you are becoming aware of them. And you say, well, I don't want to ride horses. I'm not going to do that. Or that doesn't sound like fun. Or I don't have time for that. Or I don't have money for that. Or whatever it is. That's not the point. The point is, receive the inspiration and do the one action you can do in the moment. So you can't just get in your car and drive to a place and stand in line and talk to someone and get on a horse and ride off in the sunset. You have to do something. Maybe you are inspired to call a friend who likes this sort of thing. Maybe you're inspired to research on Google. Maybe you're inspired to read an article about equestrian activities, whatever it is. That's the thing you're inspired to do. And that action then will move you to another expanded level where you're ready for new inspiration, which may have nothing to do with the past inspiration. So the inspiration is always flowing. It's like turning the water on and saying, where are the inspired drops in that water that I need to pick out and do the things that are going to get me to my full glass of water? And we say, just let it flow. And whatever comes to you, whatever makes it through, act on that. Even if it sounds ridiculous, even if it sounds preposterous, even if it sounds like it's not going to be fun, because every time you receive an inspired idea, you will also receive a little bit of fear, but the fear will always be something you can push past as long as you're not attached to what you think the outcome should be. If you're saying to yourself, I need money. So every inspired idea has to involve me making some money, or I need a mate. So every inspired idea has to be something that will, I'll meet someone and have a mate. Well, then you're narrowing your focus and you're not letting in all the ways, because the universe could say, to get Sal from where he is now to where we know he wants to be, we're going to have to bounce him around and get him used to taking this inspired action stuff so that he can expand and expand and expand and expand and expand. And once he gets to this level, boom, we can give him the real inspiration because we'll know he'll act on it. But his belief system right now is a little bit rigid. So we have to open that up. We have to give him all kinds of different ideas to play with and work with to see that, hey, this could be fun. This could be interested. I can do these things. I can push past the fear. And then the one inspired idea will come to you and you'll say, that's it. This is what I want to do. This is the thing. This is what I've been waiting for. But the version of you that exists now can't realize that dream yet, because you have to be taken on a little journey, a little step-by-step journey, so that your mental framework, your belief system would be modified so that when the inspired idea or when the manifestation or when the thing that you truly want comes into your life, you'll see it, you'll realize it. Because right now, if it were to come into your life right now, with the mental construct and the belief system you have now, you wouldn't recognize it. You would say, that's not what I want. And all along it is what you want, but you're not existing at the same vibrational place yet. So just think of what comes to you. Think of the most exciting thing that you can think of at the time. Meditate, let the ideas come through meditation, in the shower, write down all these different ideas and act on a few of them. Then see what happens, see where that goes, and then act on a few more and act on a few more. And if you get in the habit of acting on inspiration, we promise you, it's not going to take more than 5 or 10 inspired ideas where you actually act in the moment to lead you to a place you can't even imagine. That's how powerful it is to act when inspired.
Got it. Thanks.
Excellent. Who's next?
I have a question about, I love what you're saying. Thank you, Joshua. So act when inspired. I'll have the inspiration to do something tomorrow.
Yes. The fear says, don't do it today. Do it tomorrow.
So that's fear? Just
fear. I have my whole day planned. I have this whole to-do list. I got to get the to-do list done. I got to go do this and that. And the other thing, I don't have time for this. I can do it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow comes and you'll say, oh, I can do it tomorrow and tomorrow. And that's the beautiful thing about a space and time reality. You can put it off till tomorrow until you can't, you see. But what if you could do everything today? What if you could do everything today? What if it was possible to take the little actions that come to you in the moment and forget about all the things you think you need to do? Because all that effort and struggle doing the things you think you have to get done, which mean nothing as far as the universe is concerned, the universe knows exactly how to get you where you truly want to be, but you can't see that yet. Sort of like if you've ever been in a corn maze, you can't see the exit from where you enter. You have to be guided along up and down this row, up and down this row, into a little brick wall manifestation event, back, 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 down this one, down this one, down this one, until eventually you find your way out. But if you say, well, I'll take two steps and then I'll take another step tomorrow and I'll take another step tomorrow, well, you'll get bored of the whole thing and the inspiration that came to you for that day is now gone because the universe is trying to line up all these amazing different aspects for you. So it's really in the moment. For instance, if you had the inspiration to go buy an apple, you would leave your house, get in the car, drive down the road, go to the grocery store, go into the fruit aisle, go to the cash out, get back in your car, and drive home. Along that trip, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of different points. You might see a sign that you never saw before that lights you up. You might notice something that in a behavior of someone else that you realize, oh, they're being in fear. You see, you might meet someone in the grocery store. You might see an old friend. All these little things that you think are coincidences are being aligned if you take the action. And all you have responsibility over is your action. But we promise you, whatever the inspiration is, if you can do something in that moment or within the next few moments without putting it off to the next day, it will always lead to this expansion that you want. And if you could act on an inspired idea every day for 10 days, you would come to a radically new place. But the interesting thing is that humans don't. Humans will do what seems to be fun, or do what seems to have some benefit or some reward or some outcome they see as favorable from their limited perspective. But doesn't that, can you see how that works? If you get an idea from this level where you exist at now, this perspective, and the idea is meant to move you to a higher perspective or a more expanded place, you can't see where that's going to go because your perspective is limited. You will only see it after you've taken the action. So you see this all the time. When you have taken actions, you go, oh, that's led to this. That led to this outcome. I never knew it was going to lead to that. It's amazing. So if you have this attachment to an outcome and you want it to lead to something, you're going to be sort of coercing it around, trying to effort its way to this thing you think you want, which will never come, at least not in the feeling that you think we'll get from it. The idea is if you could act as a blended being, with your inner self, always in alignment, always receiving inspiration, always acting in the moment, acting on whatever the inspiration came in the moment, you would live the most effective life that you could possibly imagine. But the fear is always popping up so much that if you're not used to pushing past fear, you're not going to have the confidence required to trust that your inner self is always leading you exactly where you want to go. So your inner self and the universe does it in fits and starts because you will act on some things where you think it'll lead to a positive outcome. And that will have to be good enough. So you'll do some action. You'll have some outcome. You'll have a judgment about that outcome. You'll have some, you might be upset at the outcome or you might be excited at the outcome. And you will define the action by that outcome. And we say, don't even worry about that because just the constant action, constant moving, in as long as it's inspired, move, knowing when you're in alignment, knowing when the action is inspired, not an urge to change or control the conditions, acting on that, not needing to know how it's going to turn out and not judging whatever the outcome may be, because many times you'll be walking right into a manifestation event that you need to have to understand that you have a limiting belief. So to go from point A to point Z, you'll have inspiration that takes you to point B. Inspiration that will take you to point C. Inspiration that will take you to point D, which is a manifestation event. That manifestation event is expansive, especially if you look at it as a gift. If you look at it as there's information for me to have that will transmute my limiting belief to a beneficial belief, it might be some obstacle that pops up. The obstacle you'll have to get over to go to point E, you see, and along the way. But none of them are tied together linearly. It won't look the way you think it should look. It never does. It's not like climbing Mount Everest, where everyone knows exactly the path that you have to follow, how long it takes, and what to bring along the way. This is completely different. You cannot know where it's going to lead you, because if you knew where it's going to lead you, you'd never go, because it'd be too immense, you see. Gary had to come from this inauthentic persona that he had developed over many years to, which was this normal guy that you could like, love and respect because he was successful and a good guy and fun and all that stuff, to this weird guy who is now channeling. If he had seen all the events along the way and seen where he was going to end up, he would say, forget that, I'll stay where I am. But because he had to go through all these experiences and let go of all these limiting beliefs and push past all these fears, he comes to this much higher place where life is richer and fulfilling and satisfying and magnificent and incredible, and so much that's coming into him that he couldn't, it's a different life. It's a completely different life than he had before. But he could not have been shown the path because he wouldn't have taken it, you see. So the universe and his inner selves had to put him on a path where it went from point A to point B, and then over here and back over here and back over here, through a manifestation event, through a fun, exciting cruise or something, through a fun retreat, back to a manifestation event, back over here. And his belief system was opened up every step of the way. That's what's available to all of you, as long as you start acting on more inspiration, having faith that's always leading to your highest good and the highest good of everyone else involved.
What's interesting is, so it's like, I want to do something on Insight Timer, and I think, all right, I'll do a series starting live 6 a.m. But what you're saying is, I have that inspiration, just do it then, and regardless of having it to look systemized or look consecutive, but just start.
Yeah. What's the one thing you can do in the moment? You can do a recording and put it up. You can do it live if it's possible. Whatever it is, the thing that you can do, you could write it out, you could, whatever you want to do. What can you do in that moment? Okay. And then do what you can do. And then after you've taken that action, you'll say, oh, you know, maybe I need to record it, or maybe I need to have 10 of these done ahead of time and then have a series going on. But until you get started doing something, you won't come to the expanded place where you'll see what needs to be done after that.
Okay.
So from action leads to expansion, and that expansion has new clarity in it so that you can see more of what's really going on.
Okay. So something needs to be done.
When you're inspired, something always needs to be done.
Okay.
Whatever you can do, that's all that needs to be done. We hope that you will think about yourself from the higher perspective and realize that you are in this partnership with your inner self. And when you are authentic, you are in alignment and blended with your inner self, who is always giving you inspiration that will always lead you to your highest good and the highest good of all involved. Of course, you'll have to push past fear. But if you don't push past the fear, you'll be succumbing to fear. And in succumbing to fear, you lead a conflicted, inauthentic life that is not going to bring you what you want, because it's not expansive in the way that you intended to expand prior to your birth. The action will lead to that. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Joshua.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. There were a lot of great questions there. And as always, please like this podcast and subscribe to it and leave a comment or review. All that's great. Share it with your friends on Facebook. We also have a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. Just search Gary Temple Bodley or The Teachings of Joshua and you'll find it there. And if you'd like to get that course that we have now, it's on the website. There's also a link to the course in the description below here. And as always, we really appreciate you being here and all that stuff that you do for us. You are what supports this work, and we're thankful that you're here. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.